Welcome to another Distinct Nostalgia by MIM.
More than a podcast.
Our celebration of all things Crossroads continues now, as Russell T. Davies' tribute to Noel Gordon remains one of the big highlights on ITVX. Nolly, starring Helena Bonham Carter, has proved a big hit, but what about the real stories from the people who were actually there? Well, today, Ashley's meeting a man who played one of the Crossroads managers, the final assistant manager, prolific soap actor Graham Seed, who was Charlie Mycroft. Enjoy.
Right, Graham, lovely to talk to you today for Distinct Nostalgia. Now, I know you've done lots and lots and lots of things over the years, but in this particular interview, we want to focus on your time in Crossroads, because I'm sure it was memorable. Anybody who's been on Crossroads remembers it, whether it's for good reasons or bad reasons. Or
It was about a year and a quarter.
Yes.
I was brought in by William Smethurst, who was my boss at Pebble Mill in the Archers, because I was flying high across Birmingham in Pebble Mill, because Nigel, the character I played in the Archers, was... in his pomp. I mean, he was incredibly popular. And then this wonderful editor, William Smethurst, got hunted to take over Crossroads from Philip Bowman. And he made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and probably upset the BBC. Well, I know the BBC were terribly upset, because they, quite soon after me accepting it, they told me I'd have to relinquish the Archers. And I got recast. Not for long, because actually the whole of Crossroads collapsed then, and eventually I got back into the Archers. But it was a year of my life that I had no regrets. It was a very exciting year.
I mean, the Archers and Crossroads aren't really in competition anyway, are they, really?
You know, I think it was rather mean of them. I thought in my dream world I could record some of the Archers. I mean, it was only, you know, one day a week, and then zoom across the road to Central and do that. But I mean, the politics of independent television, the BBC, I think we're across a frontier. But I know a lot of my... I mean, the Archers has very loyal listeners. And if they like your voice, they don't like change. But that was another story. And when you're young, you accept challenges. And I had no regrets. And what was extraordinary about Crossroads was it was such hard work, but that was good because you're young. And there was a tremendous sort of feeling of belonging in a team. And like the best theatre, if you're all committed, you make great friends and you work hard. And you have fantastic memories. Actually, I got sent some old Crossroads episodes. Now, there's a very nice man who, you probably know him, who works with the Crossroads fan club or something. But it stood up rather well. I was rather proud of my work, really. But it was an extraordinary year.
Now, you entered Crossroads in its latter years, in its first reincarnation, as it were, because it came back a couple of times later on.
Oh my God, it obviously came back again, yes.
Yes, it came back a couple of times, didn't it? You obviously knew about Crossroads. It had been an institution in the UK for so long, hadn't it? Since 1964. What had you heard about it? What did you actually expect about working on Crossroads?
Well, I mean, it was not my sort of thing at all in my career that I wanted to do. It did have a reputation, I'm afraid, with, you know, shaking sets, wonky sets, never lean against the doors. And there was a lovely old lady who had a reputation of forgetting her lines, which was very funny. And of course, I mean, the Archers and Crossroads got me to meet Victoria Wood, who used me in many a sketch. And that was a huge privilege. And especially when she did sort of Acorn Antiques. There were very funny moments in Crossroads, it's true. And as an actor, I'm not, we go on when we're young about a career move and where I should be going. I'd already done some pretty prestigious television, like I, Claudius, and Brideshead Revisited. And I'm sure a few people thought, what the dickens, why does Graham want to go into Crossroads? But, I mean, it was for a year. And in those days, I mean, that's how it sort of worked. It's who I knew, and I never had to audition or anything. So it was a great compliment that Bill Smethurst phoned me up and said, I want you to head the new look that I'm bringing into it. I was sort of offer you can't refuse. But no, I hadn't followed Crossroads, and I knew about Nolly, and as one did, but you used to occasionally sort of catch it at tea time, didn't you? But it wasn't viewing that I was hooked on.
So what was it like going there the first, when you first got there? I mean, you'd had this reputation of the wobbly sets, and you probably knew a few of the people who were in it.
I knew a few people. Everyone was terribly welcoming, but of course, but there had been a coup, and Philip Bowman's, I mean, quite a lot of the cast had been axed by Butcher Bill. You know how they're, and I mean, any producer going into a soap gets rid of people. So, I mean, it wasn't my fault that a few people lost their job, but there was amongst certain of the cast, and I'm not going to mention any names, that, you're the new lot, are you? You know, there was me and a wonderful actor called Terence Rigby, who played a bomber. Well, he was in charge of the motel, and he came in with me, and a wonderful actress called Frances Chuka too. But we had, you have instant respect, and there were people, it was all terribly quick. You have read-throughs, and you block it on a set, and then you get into the studio, and you have to, you're dependent on getting on with people, and everyone was terribly kind and helpful. I'm not sure if I do the pressure now. There was about 4 episodes a week we recorded.
Yeah, no, it was a lot, wasn't it? It was even more at the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you know more about the programme than I do, probably, because I've been desperately trying to remember it. And I've got out a book, Jane Rossington's Crossroads Years, and I did a bit of background reading before I spoke to you.
Well, back in the day, of course, it was live, wasn't it?
Well, no wonder it got a reputation. I don't know how people coped with that. There are about four young directors who were looking on it as a stepstone on, you know. But I mean, I wouldn't have stayed in it much longer. I had a very good year and a half. It was probably my fault it closed. I was one of the new look. But I love Charlie Mycroft. Bill Smethurst said, oh, he's a bit like, you know, Nigel Pargiter, who I played in The Archers, but just be slightly daffy and posh and a good egg. And he gave me some nice stories, very romantic, gentle stories. I think I fell in love with Dee Hepburn, which is quite easy to do. And I met some lovely guys, Stephen Pinder, Glyn Pritchard, Merrill Hampton, friends for life, actually.
Yeah, Stephen Pinder, of course, went on to be big in Brookside.
Of course he did.
Brookside, yeah, exactly.
Yes, he was big in Brookside, and I slipped into Brookside. I mean, I've done more soaps. It was once revealed in one of the newspapers that I've done more soaps than anybody. I had a stretch in Corrie when I was young. Brookside, I was the headmaster. In Corrie, I was a barrister, long time ago. I defended the Tilsey boy who was in trouble. No, I prosecuted him for theft, I think. And Brookie, of course. I haven't done Emmerdale, but I've done a lot. You do get pushed around a bit.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Do you spend all of your waking moments watching reality TV? Well, you're in good company. I'm Will.
And I'm Marissa. And we're the hosts of Cheers to Chaos Reality TV and Cocktails, a new weekly podcast that covers the ever-so-entertaining and cringy world of reality television.
Each week, we'll be raising our glasses and diving into the latest drama and chaos from our favorite reality TV shows.
From 90 Day Fiancé to The Bachelor, we've got all your reality favorites covered.
So grab a drink and join us as we clink our glasses to the hilarious and delightful train wrecks of reality TV.
Subscribe now to Cheers to Chaos Reality TV and Cocktails on your favorite podcast platform.
Yeah.
Well, the part in Crossroads was a big role for
It was a fantastic role. He was called Charlie Mycroft, and he was the assistant manager of the motel. And I had a nice little waistcoat, and I was always I spent a lot of time behind the desk. And now this is a crossroads story. If occasionally you were, if the episode was running short, the message would come through to the floor manager, get Graham to fiddle around with some notes and improvise a phone call. Someone said, yes, of course I can book you a room. For, you know, I liked doing that. That was rather fun. You could make up an interesting conversation with her. I mean, I had actually worked with Mike Lee. So impro didn't worry me at all. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Mike Lee's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic.
So just tell us a little bit about some of the storyline. Did you have to interact with any of the characters who'd been there for a while? Or you maybe focused on the newer ones?
It was a very gentle program when I got into it. I know that William Smethurst wanted to make it a gentle comedy at times. And like there were very funny episodes with trying to introduce Benny to Earl Grey tea. I had some very funny scenes with him because he tried to like it, but I think he gave up and said it didn't taste enough. I did over 120 episodes, I think. So there must have been there. Oh, yes, I was emotionally involved with a blonde at the beginning and then Dee Hepburn. And there was a cook who I had a lot of... And of course, I mean, Bomber Harris, who was played, as I said, by Terence Rigby, and Adam Chance. I mean, they were all... Yes, Adam was such a nice... guy to work with and helpful.
Do you have any connection with Jane Rosington's character, Jill?
Oh, Jane. Yeah, of course. I had lots of scenes with Jane. Yeah. And Jane was consummate. She was so friendly, and she had this knack of managing to run a family at the same time, and was always on the ball, and knew the lines, but always rushing off somewhere, you know, whereas most of us were poring, staring over scripts the whole time. She used to sort of breeze in and say, let's just run those lines. And we all had such respect and love for Jane because she really was the oldest surviving, you know, from the old days. She was a great survivor, wasn't she? I mean, she'd been in it from the, I think the first word of Crossroads was her, wasn't it?
Yeah, Crossroads Motel, how can I help you? I think was the first word.
Yeah, yeah.
And she never seemed to age either.
She never seemed to age. And she occasionally invited us round to her gorgeous house, which is about half an hour outside Birmingham. And she made the programme work for her.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, at the time that you...
I once met her on holiday, actually.
Oh, did you?
In Devon, and that was lovely. Yeah, I mean, what is so extraordinary? I mean, is that in one's career as an actor, we're really lucky doing. Although there's insecurity and unemployment, but the good times you make such good friends because make believe and playing games is. A childlike experience, and we're very privileged that we did it.
Absolutely. Now, the time you were in it was towards the latter days of the first incarnation of Crossroads, of course. It wasn't long before it did disappear. They changed the theme tune, which I think was ridiculous, because the theme tune was the thing that everyone knew about Crossroads, and you knew that the credits were going to crash into each other. Oh. That was a big thing, wasn't it, back in the day? But it was like for some reason there was a narrative going on, wasn't there, that Crossroads was struggling, even though it was actually getting really good viewing figures, to be fair. Still.
What we were told was when it was shut down, we all got Andy, what was his name? Andy someone who was head of Central. The trouble, the tragedy with Crossroads was the viewing figures were going up, but they were losing their, I can't think of another word, it was always much loved by the lower structure of society. And the advertisers found that they weren't spending money because they probably didn't have money, and they wanted to make it into more of an affluent program. But that didn't quite work. I'm not really putting that very well, but perhaps you probably know this anyway.
I know exactly what you mean. I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, they weren't. It wasn't getting the right audience that they really.
That's the way to put it. It wasn't getting the audience. I mean, I thought that the audience wouldn't like me much because, what was nice about Charlie, although he was a toff and went to a public school, he was great fun and rather stupid, in a contrasting way to Benny. And actually cared and had his heart on his sleeve, which is always nice in a soap. I was very proud of making a three-dimensional character of him and looking for the humour too.
What was Paul like to work with? He was a
very generous actor.
Yeah, very.
I mean, yeah. He was a huge star. One was in awe of him, really, because he'd been in it for a long time. And a survivor, because to be a success with a soap character, the actor needs to fight his corner, I think. You certainly have to care about your character. And I always did. I survived 28 years in The Archers by just looking after my character, I think.
Of course, in the old days, the actors could and did sort of, you know, they stand up for their characters, wouldn't they? But I gather that happens less so now. It's not as...
I don't think actors... Yes, there are more people in the offices than there are on the floor. But, I mean, when we did Crossroads, there was... Well, William arrived with a team of writers, most of which I knew because they'd been writing for The Archers. So I was onto a sort of winner there.
Was Cathy Staff still in it?
No, she wasn't. No, she'd just gone. But there was a lovely man called Patrick Jordan, who'd been in Allo Allo. They're all coming out. And one or two of my cast in The Archers occasionally used to drop in and out. But
And did you have any problems with the wobbly set?
I remember doors occasionally stuck a little bit.
Yes, I always remember doors swinging ridiculously.
Yes, while you're talking, that's right. So you soon learn to make sure you open and shut a door. But if you're an actor who began his career in Fortnightly Rep, it's exactly the same in the theatre. When you open a door, you open it and shut it and don't slam it. But yes. It always happens on stage on a first night. An actor doesn't quite shut a door and it goes like that. Yeah, you know.
So I also remember issues with the phones as well. Sometimes people would pick up the phone and they'd carry on ringing.
Absolutely, that is a classic. But that used to happen in the theatre too. Like when you, and also when you switch on a light, when you walk into a room, you learn as an actor to hold your hand there and then do it because you... Don't do it quickly because it'll look ridiculous because the lighting man won't time it. So I was well prepared for those sort of things.
Yes. Now it was a big show, still getting massive viewing figures.
I used to get recognised in the Hagley Road. I had a nice little. I shared someone from the BBC's house, and she gave me the attic, which is really nice in Harborne, and I really got quite fond of Harborne. And I used to get the bus in, and then. Suddenly, once or twice, the odd, you know, person at the bus stop used to look at me, and I suddenly realised, oh gosh, I'm, you know, and I was rather chuffed. I thought this is rather nice, and because I think the Birmingham was very proud of Crossroads. It was their soap.
Yeah, they were very very fond of it, weren't they? Very fond.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah, and you, and also what was nice, also you got to know the crew, the cameraman, the makeup people. I did a Doctors last year. I was a semi-regular in Doctors for a bit. And it was so nice revisiting old haunts and young floor managers. I mean, I'm quite old now, talked to me as if I'd never done soap before and they'd never heard of Crossroads. I said, yes, I I used a film location just around the corner from here, because even in those days in Crossroads, they were doing a bit of OB now and then. And to go back to Harborne and around there filming Doctors last year had really strong memories. And I've been very lucky, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. So what was the mood when they found out that it was going?
Oh, terribly sad, because it was even worse for the producers and the writers, because they were working on next month's book and it was axed very suddenly by the powers that be. But it was probably worse for some other people. But I was still relatively young, and I wouldn't have stayed in it. I'd already made a decision with my agent that, yeah, it's funny, as a young actor, you know, you're always wanting to, you're never happy. You're wanting to do this, you're wanting to do that. And when I had a long run in Me and My Girl in the West End, I was thinking, oh, I must only stay a year because I'm missing out on other things. And that's the rashness of youth, isn't it? I mean, now at my age, I'd love a long contract in anything, really, because it's not necessarily greener on the other side or bright. I mean, one is just so grateful to be working, because the business is it's changed a lot, I think, you know.
Now, you mentioned that you've been in quite a lot of soaps apart from Emmerdale, and you were in Crossroads for quite a long time. You're in The Archers for a hell of a long time. Archers is slightly different, being a radio soap to a TV soap. But how did they compare? What was it? You know, when you went and did that part in you know, Coronation Street and the others, you know, what was there a difference in atmosphere on the different soaps, do you think?
Oh, yes. I think that the first one I did was Corrie, and that was really organised, and there was such respect for the old regulars. You didn't meet much, but you met at the read-through. Tremendous respect and dignity. Not so much in Brookside. You weren't really introduced. You had to introduce yourself, and everyone was bustling in and out. And you never really got to know anyone. And then that was quite, I mean, I only had about 10 or 12 episodes. When you were in a scene with someone, that was lovely, but there wasn't that same unity. I think I always like to welcome guest actors, because you can only work well if you're relaxed. And knowing how nervous one gets if you're only doing a day's work on something, I mean, the least the regulars can do is to make you feel at home and say, if you want to run your lines, let's do it, you know. Good soap is good teamwork and good writing and a feeling that everyone is relaxed enough but to do the best they can. I can't deal with that, you know, egos and all that. There wasn't much of that around, actually.
Crossroads was, you know, for a long time, a much-loved programme, an institution. It came back a couple of times in the 2000s. In fact, the first time it came back, it did really, really well. And then for some reason, they messed it up and they axed it again. But the following for Crossroads, in terms of the people who still hold a torch for it and still talk about it, and it is huge. It's like it's never gone away, really.
It is strange. I mean, I get really chuffed if occasionally I get recognised for that. And there's a little positive. You can tell me when I was Charlie Mycroft. When did it close?
It ended in 1988, I think, didn't it? Is that right?
1988, yes. Yeah. There you go. Yes, and that was a long time ago. And in 1988, I was 38, yeah. Yeah, I have no regrets. I was lucky to. I earned a bit of money. I had a young family, I've gone on to do some very different things, which I'm equally proud of. It's just, if you're lucky enough to keep going, and I was very worried about typecasting, and if you get too associated with one role, maybe the odd door shuts.
I often ask on this program did such and such change your life? It didn't change your life, did it?
No, it didn't change my life. No, it didn't. Although I would have never done the Victoria Wood sketches, I don't think. Oh, I don't know. I think she liked my voice in The Archers. But I went on after Crossroads. I went back into the theatre quite soon and concentrated on theatre work, which I'd always had, which is lucky. It probably didn't do an awful lot for my television career. I can blame Crossroads on that, but you don't know.
No, you don't know. Now, yeah. You've not been in Emmerdale. Emmerdale's...
No, I haven't.
Maybe you could... You know, this is an audition. You know, you're part in Emmerdale.
But can you put in a word for me? I'd love to do a spot. I've got a great friend, Louise Jameson, who's in there at the moment, who was at RADA with me, and she's loving it. Yeah.
Nice part of the world.
Yes.
Break up to Yorkshire. So Nolly, then it's out now. But were you kept abreast of what was happening? Did you know that it was on the cards?
I wrote to the casting director actually, saying I'd love to be considered, considering I was a regular in it. And you don't get response these days.
You could have played yourself.
I could have played myself, couldn't I? Well, an old Charlie Mycroft. If he was still alive, I think that Charlie Mycroft would. He'd be probably managing the hotel by now. Not very well, but, you know, using his old school charm.
It's something, though, isn't it? The term motel, you know, obviously it came out of the fact that we, you know, in the 60s, the emergence of motorways and things like that. But you never really hear it. You never really hear it anymore, do you, the term motel?
You never hear it now. And actually, while we were there, they dropped the motel, and it was just Crossroads at King's Oak or something, because they had to stop calling it a motel. You think of America had motels more, didn't they? I suppose it was England trying to be American.
Yes, yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely.
But all like that, I mean, just to sum up Crossroads, hard work, commitment, and a lot of laughs.
Fantastic. Well, that's not bad, is it?
No, not bad at all.
Graham, that's brilliant. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good time. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Ashley was talking to Graham Seed, who played Charlie Mycroft in Crossroads. And keep tuning in to Distinct Nostalgia for another very special Crossroads mini-doc soon about the late pioneering actor Roger Tong, who played Sandy. And finally, just a reminder not to forget to join me, Andy Hoyle, for the Distinct Nostalgia Mind of the Month quiz. Put your knowledge to the test about the great entertainment of the past. All 6 series so far can be found by scrolling through the Distinct Nostalgia archives. And if you'd like to try your hand with the chance of winning a Distinct Nostalgia mug, then drop us a line at info@madeinmanchester.tv. Distinct Nostalgia by MIM.
More than a podcast.